chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Something. She says, "Go stand back here." I'm going back here. I'm here. I'm here. I won't stay here long, but I'm here right now. We do appreciate that. And I'll get a better battery and I'll be operating, hopefully, in some way later. Linda always tells me, said, "If you know your battery's not working, stand in front of the mic." I said, "It doesn't move. It just sits there. There's nothing to it." You know, we have significant events in our lives. Most of them have to do with either birth or death. They have to do with storms. They have to do with something, catastrophic events. Many times it's something that is very terrible that happens in our life. And so we kind of remember things according to that. But what I want us to do today for just a moment is look at some things, and you think in your mind where you were, what was going on, and if you remember what this event was. Now look at this. Anybody remember that one? Okay. You can know where you were, what was going on, what happened. Okay. Most of us are old enough to remember that. Walking on the moon for the first time. And boy, we remember the things that are going on there. We remember weddings. Some of the men are going, "I don't remember mine." That's just men. Women remember all of it. Our wedding must have been 4 hours. I agreed to stuff that I don't even remember. In fact, she's still telling me things that I agreed to at that wedding. And it had to be at least 4 hours to say all that. But that's the way it goes. But we remember that. What about this? She's not fat, people. She's having a baby. We remember that. Significant events in our lives, and we think about those things. We can think about what happened, where we were, and what was going on. Because those things are so important to us. Now, what I want to do today, and this is a very, very simple lesson, is for us to look at some significant events in the Bible. It's things that just should stand out to us and do stand out to us, I think, and help us to see what's going on and understand more about that. And so we want to look at that for just a little bit. We remember these things. When I think about this, you know, these days, I think about, there used to be an old soap opera, The Days of Our Lives. Can you ladies remember that? You can admit to be watching soap operas now. Used to, you couldn't admit that in church. Ooh, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? You remember that? Well, we passed those times, I hope. But, you know, that thing would come on and it said, sand flows through the hourglass. So are the days of our lives, or something like that. And, oh, man, people like that. They'd watch that all the time. But now, look at these things. I want you to look at this. I want you to see a significant event in the Bible. We just read about that creation. That should be significant because God is the one that did that. God is the one that created this world. And not only the world that we live in, but God created us. Now, there's a lot of people in the world that they want to deny this. They want to say it didn't happen. They want to say it's evolution. They want to say this. They want to say that. The Big Bang thing now that they're coming to and saying that happened and all this. Listen, it's very simple. God created the world we're living in. And He created it for us. Don't forget that. It's there for you. And it's there for me. And I need to remember that. And I don't need to let anybody pull me away from that. He did that. But not only that. According to the passage that was just read in your hearing here, God created man. He said, let us do that. Who's the us there? We know, hopefully, that it's talking about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Those people of heaven, those ones that are there ruling and reigning and have always done that, is ruled and reigned over people. God took the dust of the ground that He had created and formed man from the dust of the ground. And He breathed into man's nostrils and man became not just a living person, but God breathed into him a living soul. He became a soul. Now, I know we love our animals, and that's great. They don't have souls. We have souls. Jesus came to die for the souls of people so that we could be people who could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could be people that He could shower His love on. That's what He wanted to do, is to show us exactly how much He loved us. And that's the reason He created us, I think. So that He could say, look at this, I love you. And He created this whole world in such a way so that we could understand that. But not only that, we can see the next day that's very significant, if I can say it, is Genesis 3, verses 1 through 15, where He talks there about man's sin. God had created the world. He'd given man everything that he needed. Maybe not everything that he wanted, but everything that he needed. He'd created all this so that man could have a place to dwell. Man has to take this world with him if he goes outside of this world. The astronauts and all that have to have the same things we have here. They have to have air to breathe. They have to have food to eat. They have to have water to drink. They have to take the earth with them, or at least a reasonable facsimile, so that they can be a part of that. But here in Genesis, God had given man a law, a simple law. One rule, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man could not even follow one rule, much less all the others that would be given later. And so here we have man sins. And a lot of times men like to talk about the women. You know, it wasn't us, it was those women that God gave us that did it. No, it was us. We decided. Satan came in and he was a little more subtle, a little more bold than the other creatures who had been created in this world. Now, somebody says, could animals talk to you at that time? I don't know. This one did, but I don't know about the rest of them. But he said, did God tell you you couldn't eat of any of the, you know, what did God tell you about this world that we live in? Did he tell you you couldn't eat of this tree over here? He said, well, you know, what's the rule, God? Giving you basically what he was asking. And she said, God said we could have any tree we wanted to. We could eat of any tree we desired, but only the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We need to stay away from that. In the day we eat that, we're going to die. Now look how subtle Satan is. Satan said, it's not, you're really not going to die. Satan wants us to understand, and so he changes the word of God just enough so that we can't know what it is and we can't understand it. He pulls us away from the truth of God, and he does it in such a subtle way. He said, you're not going to die. That's not going to happen to you. It won't be that way. And she looked at that fruit, whatever it was, and she then decided, you know, it looks good. I need to partake of that. And it's going to make me wise. We seek for wisdom in all the wrong places. What we need to do is to seek for the wisdom of God and what God had to say. It was very simple. What did God say? Don't partake. What did they do? They partook. Eve saw it. She thought it was going to make her wise, smarter, prettier, whatever. And so she ate it. And she gave it to her husband, and he did eat. Now, we want to kind of get the idea that Adam was off somewhere else, and then all of a sudden, Eve had already eaten that. And Eve walks up and says, Adam, here, try this. But I wonder if Adam wasn't there when the serpent was talking to her, and he just didn't say anything. He should have, but he didn't. And she gave it to him, and he ate. You see, the ladies were tricked into this. The ladies were encouraged to do this by the devil. We were just following along and not questioning. And we needed to question sometime. Is this thing right? Should we do it? Should we not do it? I don't care who encourages us to do it. But he ate. You go down through those first 15 verses there and you see that they start hiding from each other. At least man and woman hide from God. God comes to talk to them in the cool of the evening. I assume he did this quite often. And he couldn't find them. They were hiding. God said, I called you. Where were you at, Adam? He said, God, we were hiding from you. I just got to be honest. We were hiding from you. Why were you hiding from me? Did God know about this already? Did he understand what they had done? I think he had. But it's just like us talking to our children. Sometimes we know what our children have done, but we want them to be able to verbalize that, hoping it will help them to kind of reason in their minds, I need to think about this a little bit more before I do this again. And he said, we were naked. We didn't have on any clothes. Oh, who told you that? Well, we've got to admit it. We took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God should at that time maybe should have, if it had been us, me, I might have said, that's it, boys, you're out. I'm not going to have anything else to do with you. But look at how much God loved these people. How much he cared for these people. We've got to understand, we've got a God that loves us so much that he's willing to help us even when we've done things that are wrong. We go over to Romans and it tells us there that while we were enemies with God, that God sent his son to die for us. Now, is he going to just condemn you? Is he going to just throw his hands up and say, that's it, I don't want to have anything else to do with you? Or is this God who created man sinned, but God was willing to try to help him to be a better person and to be a better in a better place, that he's not going to do that for us today? It's the same God. He's the same one. And he's going to do that today for us. He will forgive us of any sin that we've ever committed. He will blot out any iniquity in our life. He will help us to know the right way to go and help us to teach us the right way to go. And we have the responsibility of being able to listen to what he has to say, of being able to follow it. Sometimes we act like there are so many things in this book, I can't know every bit of it. I can't know all of it. I can't know everything. I don't know all the scriptures. Let me tell you something. What did they do in the first century when they didn't have this book? They knew when they had sinned. They knew they needed to seek for the forgiveness of God. And they did. And God forgave them. Now we're going to look at Acts 2 in just a little bit. But in Acts 2, those people there had crucified God's Son. And he offered them a way out. He offered them forgiveness for their sins. Not just, okay, I'm going to overlook it. He didn't overlook it. He said, this is how you get rid of it. This is how you deal with it. And those people did. And we see in Acts 2 and verse 42, 45, all down through there, the latter part of the book of Acts, that God was willing to forgive those people and he added them to his church, to his body of people that he loves and he wants everybody to be a part of it. That's what God did for us. Even though we've sinned, God's ready to forgive us. That should be a significant thing in our mind. That should be something that we remember and that we never, never, ever forget. Then there is the Day of Atonement. In Amos 8 and verse 9, Amos talks about a day that's going to come when the sun's going to just go in the middle of the day. It's just going to stop and it's going to be totally dark. Now we know what that is. We come over to Matthew 27 verses 35 through 45 and we see there that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, when he died there, that this earth became dark. The brightness of the day was gone. The prophecy had been given so that people wouldn't know about this. You see, when God says something, God keeps his word. God in Amos said that. He wanted people to understand that. Then we come over to Matthew and we see the fulfillment of that. We see that God keeps his word. And God's going to always keep his word. If God says you're forgiven, you know what? You're forgiven. That's it. It's not we've got to think about it. We've got to talk about it. We've got to look at this. No. When we are willing to comply with the will of God, God forgives us. And we have to realize that. You say, you just don't know what I've done. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. God will forgive you. Now, you see, we classify sins. There's big sins and there's little sins as far as we're concerned. But with God, sin is sin. Makes no difference. If what we call big or little or whatever it is, God says it's sin. God said you've got to repent of that. You've got to get that out of the way. Why do we need to do that? We need to do that because, you see, God is so good. He can't tolerate sin around him. When I think of that, I think of a bride. She's got on this white dress and she's all fixed up, got her hair fixed up and all this. Could you imagine her saying, wait a minute, I need to go change the oil in my car? I don't think she's going to do that. I've seen them take that dress and pull it up because they didn't want it to drag the ground lest it get dirty before they get married. They wanted to keep it clean. Have you ever had something to do? And maybe you were in a suit and a tie, and you thought, I'd like to help, but I can't do that right now. Look at how I'm dressed. That may be the reason that preachers always wear a tie. It gets them out of work. But we say, no, I'd love to help you pick cotton today. I'd love to help you pull corn today. I'd love to help you to fix your car today, but I got a suit on. I can't do that. We understand things like that. Is it hard to understand why God, with all his purity, with all his goodness, cannot tolerate sin in his presence? I don't think so. And in Matthew 27, it helps us to see that the sun came up and the sun became dark because Jesus Christ was on a cross to die there for us, to sacrifice his life for us. Darkness prophesied, darkness fulfilled. God keeps his word, and we need to realize that. He always keeps his word and never will back up on any of it. I mentioned to you that a significant day is the day of Pentecost. It is a day that God had chosen to introduce to the world true forgiveness of sins. Now you say, wait a minute, didn't those people in the Old Testament have forgiveness? Yes, they did, because of this day of Pentecost. They had it because the sacrifice was there. Hebrew writer tells us that the blood of bulls and goats cannot cleanse people from sin. And it never has been able to do that. But God said, this will stay for a while, but there's coming one that is, his sacrifice is greater than this. His sacrifice is so greater that you can't even imagine who it's going to be. These people could not imagine God sending his son to die for them. Oh, they knew there was a Messiah coming. They knew there was one coming that was going to sacrifice his life for them on the cross and maybe even make them great political people again. But they had no idea that God would send his son. And he did. He sent his son to die on a cross because of his love for us. John 3 and verse 16, a passage that, you know, we mention that passage a lot because it's so simple. But it is so wonderful. God loved the world so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A simple passage that says so much to us today. Forgiveness is ours, and we can be forgiven of our sins, and we can be cleansed, we can be made right. Those people that were there had crucified the Son of God. They had taken him and put him on a cross. They had made fun of him. They had shamed him. You say, well, not all of them did that. There was a big enough crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him. There was a large group of people there that were ready to take his life. You said, not everybody was wanting to do that. No, but everybody had sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of what God would have them to do. But you see, we've got a God that says on this, listen, if you will hear what I have to say, if you will believe that, if you will act on that, repent of your sins, recognize where all this is coming from. It's coming from the Son of God. It's coming from Jesus Christ, the one you hung on the tree, the one that was raised from the dead that you all know about now. That one was raised and now you have forgiveness. You can be raised too. Before that day, the greatest fear that man had was really not just falling into God's hands, but falling into the grave. Because it was over then. What was on the other side? Nobody knew. You see, today, we want to know what's on the other side. That's the reason you have all these people trying to find out about ghosts and all these spirits and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. What's on the other side is God. And that's enough. He'll handle the particulars. He'll handle all that. What we've got to do is just to be on his side when we leave this world. And here at Pentecost, these people had the opportunity to do that. Those people that had sinned, they recognized it. They seemed to have stopped the preacher in the middle of his sermon and said, what can we do to get this thing straightened out? We don't need the conclusion. You've already concluded us. We're lost. What can we do to be saved? And he tells them. And those people are washed, they're cleansed, not in the water, but in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now they did that act of baptism, but it was only to illustrate what God had done for them, and they needed to do that. They had to do that. They had to go into that watery grave because they had to understand what this blood did for them. That it washed them and made them whole and made them people that are now forgiven of their sins. So here they are. They have salvation now. That's what God wanted. At that time, man was really brought closer to God than any other time outside of creation. It was that significant event that was there. And then, we've already talked about this per se, but the day of salvation. You remember when you obeyed the gospel? You remember the time? You remember how you felt? You remember the idea that I need to do this because this is God's will? You remember the guilt of sin? How you felt like, I can't sleep at night. I've had people, I don't know how many people tell me, I hadn't been able to sleep in 3 days. Because I realize I'm a sinner. I've had people to respond, sit on the front rows up here, or maybe just meet you in the foyer, or call you and say, listen, I need to obey the gospel. I realize I'm a sinner. We've got to realize how significant that is. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 2. And what he's doing is he's quoting Isaiah 49 and verse 8. Listen to the words he had. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Just like the children of Israel that were off in Egypt in bondage, and their prayer at night was a prayer of, God, we're here, deliver us. We need to be out of this bondage. God heard their prayer, and he listened to their prayer. But let me tell you something, that was a great thing to be out of physical bondage. But this bondage it's talking about here is a bondage that's greater. I can imagine people applying this to the children of Israel while they were there in Egypt. But we today, because of God giving us greater wisdom through his word, know that this day of salvation really was being talked about was Pentecost. It was a time when salvation was offered to all people. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Encouraging people to follow God's will and to do what God wanted, because now is the time. Don't put it off. You know, sometimes you can put things out of your mind and get them out of the way, and then before long we can justify not doing them at all. But this is something we've got to do. We've got to reach for this salvation, and the day of salvation is here for us. It is time for us to follow the will of God, follow the word of God. It's time. Not putting it off. What do you gain by waiting? You know what you gain by waiting? You gain justifying the way you're living in your mind. You gain looking at yourself and saying, really, I'm not that bad. I see old Charles up there, and I know I'm better than him. And he's a Christian. You ever had anybody tell you, listen, I know some people that are not Christians that are better than some of those Christians. They're right. They are. Because you compare people among people, and you find some are better than others. But you compare people that have obeyed God's word and obeyed and heard his word and been immersed in water, been cleansed of their sins, and are trying to live and serve God. There is a difference there because of God that's in that. Not just because of us and we're better than anybody else. Let me tell you something. There's not anybody in here better than anybody else that's in the world. We're made better because of what God has done. We're saved not because of what we do. We're saved because of what Jesus Christ did for us. What we do in order to obey the gospel is not enough to pay for that. Not at all. Being immersed in water for all the sins I've ever committed, and I can say to God, God, I deserve that. Look, I'm still dripping. I've been in the baptistry. That's not enough. Because of Jesus Christ and because of us complying with his will and doing what he wants us to do, that's the reason we're saved. And we may not be any better than those people, but the idea is we are forgiven. And it's not because of how wonderful we are, but it's because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. That we're forgiven of our sins and that we're right before God and that we're cleansed before God. That's what we've got to think about. And then there is a day of the Lord, the day of victory for the Lord. This is the time that's coming. This is the time that we're all worried about, we're all concerned about, we're all afraid of. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are in it, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be burned up. Therefore, all right, now listen to this. The world's going to end someday. Even people who don't believe in God understands that. It's going to end one day. But God said, let me tell you something past that. He said, if it's going to end, what are you going to do then? Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? What kind of life ought you to live? What kind of conduct should you have? In all holy conduct and godliness. That's the kind of life we need to have. He's here not threatening, but warning. He's here trying to help people to see, don't go down that road. Don't do that. Understand that everything you have is going to be gone one day. Then what are you going to have? We all must peer before the judgment seat of Christ. In Matthew 24, starting in verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but this is the contrast here. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word will not pass away. He's saying here, I know the world's going to end. I know you know the world's going to end. I know if that doesn't happen in your lifetime, your life is going to end. But I want you to know something. My word, what I've told you, is not going to end. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again that where I am, there you might be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I want you to know what the truth is. There's a place beyond this world. And don't look at this as something to be scared of. Look at this as something to be prepared for. Be prepared for it. And get yourself out of the place you're in right now. If you're not in God, if you're not serving God, if you're not doing the will of God, get out of that and come and serve God and do God's will. He goes on to say here in Matthew 24, but of that day and that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. My Father only knows. But as the days of Noah, when the people were marrying and giving in marriage, when they were just going about their daily life, God said, it will rain today. And it will continue to rain. And it will continue to rain. And it will continue to rain. But I provided a way for people to be saved if they want to hear that. If they want to follow that. The floods came and they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them away. They weren't prepared for it. You see, all these great days are trying to help us to prepare ourselves for things. All these great things that have happened in our life are trying to help us to understand. Their births, people are being born into this world. There are also funerals. People are dying and leaving this world. There are things that are happening in this world right now. And we're wondering, how's it going to be? What's the political thing going to be? All the politics, all this stuff. Let me tell you something. That makes no difference at all. Are we those people that are following God's will? Are we trying to do what God would have us to do? Are we trying to be those servants of God? Have we heard it? Have we done what they said in Acts the second chapter to do to be saved? They were told from God, you go tell these people this. And they were told. We talk about 5,000 people heard it. Yes, but they were probably 20, 30,000 people that heard it and said no. What are we going to do? It's the decision we've got to make. Now, we extended an invitation at all of every service. I suppose if, as a preacher, I get up and we're not going to do an invitation today.